Amen. All right. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes this morning, so find that in your Bible and stand with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. For our guests, we're going through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we started in chapter 1, verse 1, about a year and 4 or so months ago. And we're only in chapter 9. Like, wow, we're going fast, aren't we? Well, I mean, there's only 12 chapters. We're getting close. Another year, we'll be done. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. We'll read verse 11 and 12. Here's what Solomon said. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. How frustrating if you're at the Olympics and you read that verse. I think I'm going to lose. It's not to the swift. He has a point in what he's saying here. Nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. The principle, I'm not going to spill the beans yet, okay? We're going to have to wait a little bit before I tell you what we're talking about this morning, but I will say the principle we're going to be discussing or learning this morning from this passage is what often hinders people from being used of God. The principle here and the implication, the problem that man has because of this principle hinders us from being used of God. And so let me encourage you to have a heart that's open this morning to know that if you'll embrace the principle that God can use you greatly in His work. So keep that in mind. It's quite a promise, but we'll see what God does this morning. Father, we need you. We pray for your grace as we one more time pray and ask your blessings on the day. Lord, specifically for your word to speak to our heart. We need you. Without you, we can do nothing. We can do nothing of meaning and of spiritual value in this life without you, your guidance, your touch, your blessing. So we pray for that this morning. Empty all of us of self, fill us with your spirit. I pray that you would wait over this place, watching for those that might turn their eyes upon you. And then, Lord, I pray for rejoicing in your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Raise your hand if you're afraid of mice. Mouse. Okay. So when I was a young person, early teens, I had a friend who worked with chicken coops. And it was just thousands and thousands of chickens in these coops all over this farmyard. And his job was to go into these coops and turn over the water and clean them out and refill them with water and put feed in each chicken coop. Now, it was a lot of work. And so what he did from time to time is he would recruit his friends to help him. And so the one and only time I helped him, he had recruited me, and the job was simple. Turn over the coop, had all the, you know, feces from the chicken in there, and it was just nasty water. You turn that over, rinse it out with the hose, and then refill it, and then put the feed in the container. Well, what he didn't tell me is when you would flip this container with the water, sometimes there would be mice under that. And I do not like mice. I mean, I could have told you that, but it was confirmed in this, you know, job that I, you know, unknowingly volunteered for. So I did a few coops. There was no mice. And then I turned over one. A mouse ran out from underneath, ran right over my foot, and I jumped up. It scared me to death. And so I realized at that point, okay, some of these have a mouse under it. And so I went to another one. I was a little more cautious. Turn it over, no mouse. And then I turn over, you know, a couple later, I turn over one, and it felt like hundreds of mice. It was a nest. And these things are running all over me. I mean, not up my, you know, I'm out. I'd probably be dead right now if they were running up. But all over my feet, just trying to escape and get away. I'm thinking, this is crazy. I hate this job. I'm not getting paid enough for this. But, you know, I'm already in. I don't want to complain because, you know, it's a mouse. You're going to be like a wimp, like 15, you know. So I just tough it out and just go to the next ones. But I'm, after the one that had the nest, I am really concerned. And so I'm cautiously flipping over. I'm throwing stuff at it, actually, from the door. Like, whatever I can get my hands on to scare them out. And I would go in and I would flip it over. And I'm doing hundreds of these things. And finally, I flipped one over. It had no mice under it, but it had a big snake under it. And at that point, I realized I already knew I'd made a mistake. But at that point, I'm thinking, I'm out. I'm never doing this again. I'd already decided, but that also was confirmed in that moment. And I did not clean that one either. My friend's doing that one. You know, I draw the line at snake. You know? Serving God can be just like that. Let me explain. When you start committing yourself to get involved with ministry, there's a fear connected to it sometimes. And in fact, let me say it this way, often. Where you know God wants you to be involved. You know God wants you to serve. But you're nervous to commit yourself to be involved. Why? Because you're nervous what you're going to find when you start turning things over. Yep. When you commit yourself and you start getting involved, what are you going to find underneath? And sometimes it's not pretty in the ministry. Sometimes you're dealing with things. You get committed, you get involved, and you start serving, you start doing for God because you feel convicted. God wants you to be involved. You want to be involved. And you're thinking, this is just going to be roses and cherries. And it's going to be beautiful. It's all for God. He's going to bless me. My finances are going to be amazing because I'm surrendered to God. My car's not going to break down anymore. The washing machine's not going to mess up anymore. I surrender to God. But then once you get moving forward, what you'll find is you start turning things over. Why? Because you're serving God. It's not a pretty job. And sometimes the things that run out from underneath, they're frightful. And they make you question what you got yourself involved with. What have I done? I committed myself to something I no longer want to be involved with anymore. When I said, yes, I would do this, I was not expecting what I ended up experiencing in this. That's what ministry can be like. So you get involved and you start ministering and serving people and you start uncovering things in people's lives. Why? Because you want to help them and deliver the gospel and bring people along for God. But in people's lives, what you'll find is there are things that are hidden underneath that when they start getting uncovered and start coming out, it can be hurtful. It can be scary. And it makes you wonder if you really want to do this. Solomon here is referencing people who misunderstand what success looks like. What brings success and what it looks like. You see, sometimes we get deceived to think that success in our walk with God or in the ministry or in our service or even in our life, success is based on results. Like, you know, here's how you measure success. It's the results that I see. And if there's great results, then that means we're successful. Or being committed to a ministry, sometimes we think that success in that ministry is related to our abilities to accomplish that ministry. And so we get hindered by the fear that we don't qualify. We get hindered by the fear of wondering if we can accomplish what we feel God is wanting us to do. And so there's a hindrance there to even move forward, not because we misunderstand what success looks like as it relates to results, but listen to this, because we misunderstand what success looks like as it relates to our own abilities. And when you misunderstand those two things, it hinders you from being used of God. That's what Solomon is pointing out here. Let me show you. Look at verse number 11. He says, I return and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. So what he's pointing out is somebody who's involved in a race. Now, when you line up to race somebody, you're hopeful. I mean, the idea is that you're going to win, especially if you're racing your kids, right, Brother Larry? I mean, I'm going to race my kids. I'm going to do whatever it takes. If he gets in front of me, I'm going to trip him because I'm his dad, and that's how we win, right? Get in front of me too much, I'm throwing something. Why? Because that's why we race. I remember when the kids were real small, they'd say, Dad, let's race. I'm like, let's go, because they're like six. But then they become teenagers. They're like, Dad, let's race. I'm like, Dad, let's race. I'm like, no, I'm not racing you. Forget that. I want to race when I know I can win. Well, you see, when we race, we like the Olympics we just referenced a minute ago, we measure success based on who wins and who doesn't win. Well, here's what God says. In the race that he's referencing here, the winner doesn't go to the most swift or the one who's the fastest. So the implication is it goes to somebody else. The one who is going to win the race is not going to be the one who's the most swift. And the way you measure the success in this race is not by the one who runs the fastest or has the most ability. He goes on. Race is not to the swift, he says, nor the battle to the strong. You would assume that if somebody's going to win a battle, it's to the one who's the strongest. Now, I still like to wrestle the boys. You know, when they were little, I would wrestle all four of them at once. And we would have pillow fights and things. And then they started like blindsiding me and hitting me in the head and no mercy, you know, at all. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm not doing this four against one anymore because I can't keep an eye on all four of them. Like two of them are distracting me and two of them are jumping me in the back, you know. You understand that, Brother Tony? You don't have four, but you probably get it. To win a battle, you would think it would go to the strongest, the one who has the ability, you know, to win that battle, like in wrestling. But God says that's not who's going to win this battle. It doesn't go to the one who's the most strong. Look at the next one. Neither yet bread to the wise. So he points out somebody who thinks this is what causes somebody to have sustenance. It's wisdom. In fact, that one connects really well to the next one. Look what he says next. Nor yet riches to men of understanding. So bread, sustenance, and riches to somebody who's wise or somebody who has understanding. You know who sees success this way? The world sees success this way. You want to have success, then you need to go to university. You want to have success, you need to have this particular kind of education. You need to pursue this kind of career field. You need to have this, not just education and career field, but you need to have this resume. And through this wisdom and through this understanding, then you can have bread and then you can have riches. And the idea there is, then you'll have success. But God says that's not how we measure success. It doesn't go to the one who has this kind of wisdom or has this kind of understanding. Look what he says next. Nor yet favor to men of skill. Favor would be a kind of status or popularity in the world. And this is a temptation not just for teenagers, but for all of us. And relationships is what we are built on. Our entire existence is built on the need for relationships. Think about it. When God created us, he created us to have a relationship with him. That's why we exist. And then he said, it's not good for a man to be alone. So he created a relationship that would illustrate the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. And he gave man a wife. And then he gave a husband and a wife children. And then he, fast forward, he gave the Christians that would become believers in Christ, he gave them a family and a church. Why? Because he knew he needed relationships. And so because of that, there's a temptation for you and I to think that our success is based on our status, where we fit in the sphere of relationships. But God says, you're missing it. Favor of men. Look what he says next. But time and chance happeneth to them all. And so the idea here is that there's a misunderstanding of what success looks like. And God is saying here through Solomon that success is not based on abilities. It's not based on what you can do, or watch this, what you think you can't do. That's not where success is found. Listen, I know this was referenced a couple of weeks ago when Brother Chris gave testimony about surrendering to be a pastor. And he said, I might misquote this, but it was something like this, where he said, why did God pick me? I don't feel like I'm the most qualified to do this. You know, I feel like with somebody with that spirit, maybe you're far more qualified than you even realize. As a matter of fact. Because it's not about you anyway. Moses said, I can't even speak. You're the guy. Gideon says, I've never done anything like this. You're the guy. Peter's in prison. And he is shackled. And he's going to be hindered to be able to preach the gospel and move forward. James has just been beheaded just recently. And that is what's on the docket for Peter. And God opens the doors, literally blowing the doors open for Peter so he can preach the word of God, reminding us that it's not about Moses, and it's not about Gideon, and it's not about Peter. It's about us being where God wants us to be and doing what God wants us to do. Solomon says, so often we're hindered because we think that our success with God is based on our abilities or on our inabilities. But he says that's not how it's measured. Over and over here he says, this is not how success is measured with God. Let's go on. Look at verse 12. I love this verse. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net. Raise your hand if you like to go fishing. Okay, raise your hand now if you like to go... wait for the question. Raise your hand now if you like to go fishing, but the fish are not afraid of you. You don't catch fish. That's me. We went crawdad fishing, though. I did catch one of those. Raise your hand if you've done that. All you need is a string and bacon. Or just flip the rock and grab it, according to Brother Chris. I ain't doing that. So, he says, the fish, they're taking it in net. What's that mean? It's going to be over for them. He goes on and he speaks of the birds that are caught in a snare. So in other words, a time is coming when man is not only not going to be able to serve, but when potential will be lost. Why? Because things happen. It's unfortunate, isn't it? That in life, accidents happen and people are lost. People are lost before their time. There was a young man who surrendered to be a pastor and went to Bible college. Real tall kid, handsome kid, just strong, very good at basketball. I'm talking like 6'4", 6'5", just strong and in a sweet spirit, a good kid. I mean, just loved the Lord and wanted to be a pastor and wanted to be committed to Him. And had all of those things. And after his freshman year of Bible college, on the road, on the highway, during the summertime, between his freshman and his sophomore year, driving across the country to see somebody in Washington, fell asleep at the wheel, veered off, hit an awning of a bridge, and was killed instantly. And so a young man had all that potential, and it was lost. Solomon says, listen, we don't know when our day is coming. And so let's not think let's not think that success is based on how much time we have. How much time we think we have, or how much time we think we don't have. It's not based on your abilities. It's not based on how much time we think we do or don't have. Success is not measured that way. It's measured in an entirely different way. Here's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be involved. It's clear to see in Scripture, God wants all of us to be involved. There's not any person that's sitting in a pew this morning, or in a chair in the back, or standing on the platform, that God doesn't want us to be involved in His work. Right. To do that, you need to be a servant. You have to recognize it's not about you. You have to also recognize it's not about results. It's not about how successful you think you are based on the results of what you're involved with. You have to also understand that God, in that service, wants you to be committed to your ministry. Yes. So there's nobody here that has an excuse to say, I don't have a lot of time. No excuse. Right. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm not very good. No excuse. I don't have results. God doesn't measure success that way. Pastor, I don't have any abilities. Oh, well, that's okay, because it's not about your abilities. God wants you to be active. He wants you to be involved. And there is literally nobody in here who has an excuse not to be involved. Right. We all need to be committed. We all need to be involved. There are ministries that not only do we currently have that we are begging people to be involved with, we should not be begging people to be involved with. Right. It shouldn't happen. Honestly, from this end all the way to that end, if everybody in this room decided I'm going to be active and I'm not going to use excuses, then there would be zero ministries in our church that would have needs. Zero. Because everybody who we need are sitting here this morning. In fact, more than what we need are right here. Okay? And so we need to be involved, but there's ministries that we currently have, and we don't even have that very many ministries. And we have nursery, and we have, you know, we have youth, and we just kicked off with the youth, and I mean, we clean the church. And what other ministries do we have? We don't have very many ministries right now. But I will tell you this, it's not going to be like that very long. Yeah, we're going to be starting new ministries very soon, like sooner than you realize. So that we have a small amount of children here. Praise God for the kids. Aren't you glad for the kids? And let's not get upset at the kids. They're going to wipe things on the wall. And, you know, they're going to throw things on the floor. And they're going to tear up offering envelopes and leave messes in the pew. Right? They're going to draw on things. That's what kids do. Let's not be cranky about it, number one. I inserted that into my sermon. That wasn't in it. But we need kids' ministries, and we're going to be starting kids' ministries. Do you know to have a successful kids' ministry, you have to have supervisors? Okay, we're going to have a kids' ministry. All the kids go through that door. No adults in there. Are we crazy? I mean, that side of the building would probably detach and sink in the ocean. What do we need then? Workers? We need people who will work with kids. You're like, oh, Pastor, not me. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, right.
I'm too old. Last time I checked, it doesn't matter how old you are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
By the way, I didn't make that up. I'm pretty sure God did. Yeah. Oh, man, I cannot stand working with kids. What are you saying? You don't have the ability? It's because God says it doesn't matter about your abilities. That's what He said. The race isn't going to go to the swift. I mean, some of y'all are really getting nervous. I feel like I can feel the pew sort of shaking right now. Calm down. This is from God. It's not from me. God wants you to be involved. And you need to stop making excuses that you're not qualified. Well, I'm not good at it. I'm not going to have results. God doesn't measure results like we do. The way He measures results is so different than what we do.
Right.
So we need to know that there's nobody here who has an excuse not to be serving and involved. Number two, your abilities or your talent has nothing to do with whether or not you should be involved. And number three, here's what really matters. Your spirit. Your commitment. It's hard. Miss Melissa knows this. Brother Brian, you know this. Others know this. It's hard to use people in ministry who don't show up.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to be here. Like, oh, where's so-and-so? They ain't come. Well, it's kind of hard to have ministry if you're not here. So you need to be here. You need to be committed. You need to be full of love. You know what the opposite of cynicism and critical attitude and anger and all this stuff that comes along with somebody who's just crabby? It's love. God wants to, you need to be filled up with love so he can use you. And you're going to need it. Amen. God gave you Monday through Saturday to get filled up with love so you can dump it out on the kids when they start getting here. Because you're going to need all 6 days to get filled back up with love. Because when you get here, you can't be angry at the kids. You can't be mad at them all the time. Why? Because that's not why we're here. We're here to bring them to Christ and to love them. And we have no excuse not to be involved. Our spirit needs to be right. It's not about me. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm very talented. Oh, you are? Yes, I am. I don't want to brag, so I'm just going to tell you what people say. But people say, who are these people? People say that I'm very good at, and then we have a list of things we're good at. How about we just humble ourselves and realize it's not about our abilities. God's not looking for people who are talented. God's not looking for people who have all these abilities. The race isn't won by the most swift. That's not how you win. You win by being faithful. You win by being involved. You win by being a servant and saying, how can I be used? I want God to use me. And he will. Did you know this is what our church needs right now? Our church needs some tough Christians. What do you mean tough? I mean tough for Jesus. I mean hard to offend. Amen. Not sensitive. Hard to offend. That's what I mean when I say tough. I mean somebody who can take it. I mean, take what? The preaching. Somebody who can say, I needed that. Preach the word, preacher. Amen. That was your chance. I mean, tough Christians, that's what we need. Servants who realize it's not about me. It's not about my abilities. Success, let's let God decide what success looks like. Like, well, you know, Pastor Moore, he's doing a good job because we're just blowing the doors off. Well, you know what? There's times when we might feel like we're blowing the doors off. Look at what God's doing. But that's not how God measures success. Here's the real question. Are you faithful? Are you here? Do you walk with Jesus? Do you love him? Because if you do that, God looks down and he says, that's success. I want to show you a verse. We're like, I don't know, I took too long on this stuff. Go to Joshua and then we'll finish up right there. Joshua chapter 1. It's right after Deuteronomy. If you don't know where it is, that probably didn't help you. Joshua chapter 1. Here's what we need for success. You ready? Look at verse 6. If you're there, say, amen.
Amen.
All right, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. And then God says, for unto this people thou shalt thou. And so God gives command. So watch. God gave command. Do this. And then he said, be strong and of a good courage. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest, say that next word?
Observe.
observe. So God gives command, and you be strong and courageous. Ooh, I like where this is going. Look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid of the mice and the snakes. Don't be afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that a great verse 9? I'm going to read one more verse. Go backwards one verse, verse 8. And this is success. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to what?
Do.
Do. According to all that is written therein. Because if you listen to God and you do what He says, look what God says. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good, say that,
success.
You know that's the only place in the Bible the word success is used?
Right.
And it's, you know what's built around it? Doing what God said. But I'm not gifted, I'm not talented, I don't have the abilities. Has nothing to do with it. I'm too young, I'm too old. Has nothing to do with it. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Because that's where success is. That's what we need this morning. Western Hills Baptist Church needs some more servants.
Amen.
And this is where it'll be. It's between you and God. God leads and you do. Let's let Him lead us. Father, we need You this morning. We pray for grace to guide us in Your path. And Lord, what a lesson this morning from Solomon, teaching us to be committed, to be a servant, to be involved, to be motivated from within as You convict us. Lord, certainly we trust this morning that this message was from You. It's not an indictment from man to man, but if there is a kind of conviction, Lord, we trust that that's from You. So we pray for grace to obey, to do what You're leading us to do. Change us to be more like You, to be in Your image, to be Your servant, to not value the opinion of the world, but to trust, Lord, success into Your hands. Are we where You want us to be? Are we doing what You want us to do? And then, Lord, we trust that success is in Your eyes. And then, Lord, we certainly trust that You'll do a great work, and You are. So continue to guide Your people. Lord, help us to be willing. It might be that there are some this morning, they're willing, they just don't know exactly what to do. So I pray as we begin to develop ministry and make opportunity that people would be willing to get involved in the months to come in these opportunities. And Lord, if there's other opportunities, Lord, certainly we trust that You'll use Your people through prayer as they pray for the pastor and pray for the ministry and pray for church families, pray for the lost, and other things that we can just do knowing that we're obeying You. Again, we love You. We thank You for Jesus. Guide us in Your path. Lord, bless the message to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.